Hi, I'm Bills defensive end Greg Russo, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circling the Wagons podcast. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills!
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
What is up, Bills Mafia? Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. I am your host, Nate. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We have a tremendous episode for you all. We are going to discuss O.J. Simpson, a life, a legacy. We're going to discuss everything having to do with that. We're going to discuss a Buffalo Bills draft scenarios. We're going to do a mock draft. We're going to talk about, you know, maybe positions that the Bills might go just in case they don't go wide receiver in the draft. We have Dane Brugler's The Beast up, so we got some, you know, intel on what, you know, players are might be available when, and some rankings on them. So that's going to be fun exercise to go through, because it's possible they don't go wide receiver in the first round. Or if they do, how much will they have to trade up? But I'm joined in this episode by my co-host, John and Mike. I'll start with you first, John. John, draft season, draft week is less than 2 weeks away, man. How are you doing?
Doing great. Always an exciting time of year. They got 10 picks. They're going to need them all. Fill out some depth on the roster. Hopefully gets a couple of receivers, maybe.
Sure, they got 10 picks, right? 10 picks? They got to get at least one, hopefully two. I think they double dip. Mike, this is your first episode since we've been released from the Buffalo, or since the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network, I should say, just like dissolved completely where we've been the last 6 years. So, Mike, this is your first podcast where we're on our own. I don't know. How's it
what?
Feel? Oh, did I not tell you? Did I not text? Oh, I must have just told John. John. Mike, we're no longer part of Buffalo Rumblings. This is our own feet, which is, we're not corporate anymore. We're independent artists. So,
wow. Throwing off.
I like how you call us artists.
Yes. Yeah. That's giving us a little bit too much credit. So, yeah, we're different. We're out of the umbrella of, SB Nation, doing our own thing back like we did before. First, oddly enough, let's get into O.J. Simpson, but like our first episode ever 7 years ago, and I would play it for folks if like it wasn't so cringy because it was our first ever episode, but it was entitled The Juice is Loose. That was our first ever episode we recorded together that we posted on our podcast network. The Juice is Loose, ... again. And that was when he was released from prison for his kidnapping charges and, you know, robbery charges, assault charges, whatever it was, the second crime that he was tried for. Big, when you heard the news about O.J. Simpson, what'd you guys think? I didn't know he was sick. Apparently he'd been battling cancer. Like, I'm surprised he didn't tell Twitter world about it at all, you know? But a lot of mixed feelings, not really mixed feelings. Most people, not really fans of him, about O.J. Simpson. So I thought we'd start there. Obviously, if those things don't happen in the news and he wasn't the focus of our attention for over a year with a double homicide case, like, he's the greatest Bill ever, right? Like, and if not, he's damn near close to the best known, best Bill in history, right? John, you're our historian.
Yeah, I think Bruce Smith comes the closest, but from pure football standpoint, OJ's probably the best the Bills have ever had.
He did 2,000 yards in 14 games. Like, that's crazy. How many times has 2,000 yards been done? Like, 7 times? And
yeah, and the Bills' passing game at the time was abysmal. Like, everybody knew they're going to hand it off to OJ every single play, mm-hmm. and it didn't matter.
Yeah, that's crazy. Was that Joe Ferguson time, or was that before Joe Ferguson, or after?
Yeah, it was during Ferguson's tenure.
Yeah, that's crazy. One of my favorite.
But even more than that, he was more like in the public consciousness with TV commercials, movies.
Yeah, that's how I remember him as a kid, right? What is it, the Hertz rental car or something like that, or Enterprise rental car, when he's like running through the airport and he hurdles like, I think, his suitcases, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. In the public eye. The Naked Gun. Love the Naked Gun movies. You guys like the Naked Gun movies?
Yeah.
Who doesn't? And yeah, yeah, he was a...
He must have had CTE, right? I hope they study his brain.
Oh, yeah. That would be a really good brain to study. I mean, you kind of have to... I mean, if he wasn't a violent person, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was. CTE makes you do crazy things. You know, it's basically what? A traumatic brain injury, right? So you're not necessarily knowing all the things that you're doing. So all these fits of rage that you would normally just like breathe or punch a wall or whatever, all of a sudden lead to like, you know, murder, you know, from that standpoint. So like, look at Aaron Hernandez, right? I think it's been proven he has CTE, but like he murdered a guy because he stepped on his shoe, right? Like at the club. What? Just insanity. Insanity. So
it is pretty crazy because, you know, looking back at the early to mid 90s, like OJ was one of the like most beloved sports people. Like he was doing the sideline stuff for NBC and everything, very charismatic, and everybody just loved him. And it's just crazy everything that happened.
I think that was part of it, is that people couldn't believe, based on the personality that they knew that was on screen, like doing broadcasts or, like you said, in commercials or movies. Like, how could that guy commit murder, right? Just, he was...
Yeah, but that's when every time something happens, that's what the person says. Like, John could be a murderer. We wouldn't know.
They interview, like, the neighbor family friend, like, oh, I never would have expected it.
Cato Kalin? If you told me Mike had done it, I'd be like, yeah, I see it. I see Mike. Someone crossing the line with Mike, him just flying into a rage. I can see that. It's not out of the realm. People interview me. Did you think
you know, goddamn well, I'm the most even-keeled one of you.
I'll kick your ass if you think any differently. Yeah, there was so much.
What's always struck me, though, like even, I want to say the worst thing, but the worst thing was the murdering. But he went back to the well. Like, he went to jail for something else. Yeah. Like, man, you think you would just...
You got off!
You'd lay low. You'd keep looking for the real murderer on the golf courses.
Well, now he doesn't have to worry about looking for it anymore. Like, he's all done. He can finally put that to rest, like, right? I saw a funny tweet from Caitlyn Jenner. And she's just like, goodbye, OJ, you will not be missed. And then one of my favorite replies underneath is like, didn't you kill someone too? Like, that's different. That was a reckless car accident. It's different than homicide. But
yeah, she's a different person now.
Literally. Nice. Nice. John, we can get away with these jokes now with the new network. It's like, we don't have to worry. We're on our own. But yeah, it was crazy to see, like, I didn't think he was, you know, going to go this quickly or whatever. Not like he was 76 years old. It's just, yeah. Do you think they're going to put him on the Wall of Fame in the new stadium now?
No.
That's their way of getting out of it. But he is one of the, can we ever, like, separate the art from the artist, right? Like, can't we do that sometimes? Like, I'm not saying Kevin Spacey sounds like a terrible dude, right? He sounds like an awful human being. But he's a fucking good actor. Like, there's a lot of great movies that he was a part of and that he was a major reason why it was a great movie. Now, you can say that he is a good, bad person. He belongs in jail or whatever. And I wouldn't disagree with you, but like...
But they're not analogous. Like, you can still go watch the OJ clips on YouTube. You don't have to, like, build him a monument. And we're not building Kevin Spacey's statue just because you want to go watch The Usual Suspect. Right. If that's all it is, why do it? Just let it die.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
The hard part is, from a football perspective, is if we're considering him the best Buffalo Bill of all time, and you have a wall of names that are supposed to be the greatest Bills of all time, and the best one isn't on there, that's where it gets like, okay, well, then why have anybody's name up there at that point?
But I don't think so at all. It's like Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame because he broke the rules.
That's true. But it's so funny, John, that you mentioned that one of the best players ever, probably the best Buffalo Bill ever, to play the game with, like, his...
One of the best running backs of all time, like top four or five.
Better than Thurman Thomas, like, at the time. Jeez, like, it's just, it's funny
The world moves on, man. That's not what he's known for anymore.
It's definitely not what he's not known for anymore. But like, I'm thinking, like, why have a wall at all at that point? He's still going to be in the Hall of Fame. They're not going to take him out of the Hall of Fame.
For the non-murderers. This is the non-murderers Wall of Fame. OJ gets his own section outside of it. Like, there's like a box of like all the non-murderers. And then he gets like a little like asterisk in the Wall of Fame. Committed murder.
I feel like it.
Think about all the other football players.
It speaks to your mortality, John.
What's that?
You're just hanging on, man. You're hanging on. You can't.
I think that's what it's. I mean, if it was the Bills' best punter of all time, maybe it wouldn't matter as much.
Don't you ever say something like that about Brian Moorman? Doesn't that track, though, as Bills fans, like for us, doesn't that track that the guy that could be the best player of all time, he's like one of the worst people of all time, too? Like, doesn't that track? Like, you don't think of, like, look at any other franchise in the NFL and their best player, like maybe the Baltimore Ravens with Ray Lewis. Okay, maybe that's on the same level, roughly, but like, you know, like the Browns with Jim Brown, right? Like Jim Brown wasn't accused of murdering his ex-wife and her boyfriend. Like, there was, you know, every other player, like Earl Campbell for the Houston Oilers. Like, he wasn't accused of murder. Like, why does
it
have to be?
Those guys are both top five running backs all time. Jim Brown's probably number one.
Yeah, exactly. How come our guy had to be the murderer? One guy in Buffalo. Ah, man. It's like, what's next? Like, didn't Josh Allen just get, like, arrested for something? I don't know.
It is one of those things, right? Like, is of course, like, the one good thing that Buffalo had for, like, they had a few.
I don't
things,
get this, like, at all. It's like every franchise, like Kansas City Chiefs, their coaches are driving drunk and going to prison after hitting people, right? Like, they had a linebacker suicide himself in the parking lot. The Patriots have Hernandez, like Junior Seau, and he suicide himself, best linebacker of all time. Like, everybody has something. It's not like, oh, what was Bills? It's so long ago. Like, the Raiders had Suggs, like, killing people. Like, the Chiefs just had another, like, see a wide receiver? Like,
none of those players were, like, the best Henry, at their position for even their team.
It was much more in the public consciousness if you're a current player than somebody that played 50 years ago and who has since been known for so many other things.
Don't you think, though, like, when people think about murderers in the NFL, OJ's number one. Like, it is by far above. Like, people think Aaron Hernandez, he's probably, like,
second tier. Whoa. Wasn't OJ acquitted?
No, yeah. Yeah, technically. Technically. So.
All right.
There goes my, I rest my case. John, you should have been a defense attorney.
Been right there with Johnny Cochran.
If the glove doesn't fit, you must have quit.
I was 12 years old.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was a crazy time for us having lived through it. Like, I mean, you know, all we had was the news because the internet was still very much in its infancy. I didn't have the internet for another 4 years or so after that, if that, 5 years maybe. And it was just, there was nothing. So there was nothing to go viral, right? And that was like.
But like every news station, it was just constant 24/7.
24/7. All the time, whether it was, and it'd be like, it would dribble into like the morning show, like Good Morning America, like all those like things that aren't necessarily news outlets. It's just like, we have to talk about this because it is the biggest news, you know. You know what's funny is I watched that documentary they did on him where it was like acted out where Cuba Gooding Jr. was O.J. Simpson and, you know, David Schwimmer was Robert Kardashian. John Travolta was, I forget the other lawyer, his defense lawyer, but like. What was interesting is when OJ found out that Nicole was murdered, he never asked how, which is odd, right? Like, that's an odd thing. Like, if you find out your ex-wife is dead. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess it is what it is. Like, he was like, I mean, he was talking to her. It wasn't like he was like, hadn't talked to her in years. Like, they were still kind of having a relationship, an up and down relationship since.
And wasn't there like a 911 call too, where she like specifically said, I think he's going to beat the shit out of me.
Yeah,
or, whatever.
There were multiple domestic abuse calls, yeah, of that. John, you're not making your case very well for him being innocent by reminding people of that. But they never even
I just said that he was acquitted by a jury of his peers. That's all I said.
Oh, okay. Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. a friend of mine texted me like this picture. His friend has season tickets for 35 years at the Ralph, you know, Rich Stadium. He has a picture of 1993, which I shared on social media on Twitter. I think it was only Twitter, but of like OJ coming out near the tunnel where the friend had season tickets, and he's wearing like the gloves, right? Like this is 1993, which was really cool. And then like that person was also asked by the Los Angeles District Attorney if they could use that photo as evidence, potential evidence in the trial, which is crazy, right? Like isotoners, man, the gloves. And I heard that one of the reasons why his gloves didn't fit that when he was in court is because he stopped taking his arthritis medicine. And so like his hands were more like puffy or bloated or something like than they normally would be. So anyway, just an interesting topic.
Maybe because that happened in, you know, when the Bills had their last Super Bowl run. So maybe the curse is lifted and they can go back to the Super Bowl.
Yes. Was he the curse? Was OJ the curse the whole time?
We
I love it.
We just didn't know it.
We just didn't know it. Yeah. This is the year, man. So this could be the year. The curse is finally lifted. Yeah. The curse is loose.
And I want to give Joe Ferguson a little bit of credit when we're talking about OJ's 2,000-yard season. It was Fergie's rookie year. So, you know.
He wasn't going to throw a lot.
Yeah, they already weren't going to throw a lot. So.
Yeah, that's okay. I know. No offense to Joe Ferguson, which I think he's gone now by now, too. So RIP. Maybe he's still around. I don't know. But it was OJ. I would say rest in peace, but there wasn't a whole lot of, didn't seem very good. Didn't seem like a good guy at all. So, but you know, this is a chapter where hopefully the curse is over and we can move on. And this is the year, you know, even without Stephon Diggs and whatever. It's funny. There was a video he posted on Twitter. OJ posted on Twitter, which was like in February, it was just like, somebody said I was in hospice. Hospice? Are you kidding me? Like the playoffs, like playoffs, you kidding me? It's like hospice. You kidding me? And then the quote underneath it was just like, OJ lie until the day he died. Just, man, what a life. So
Ferguson, by the way, is still alive, 73 years old. He did battle cancer, but he recovered about 5 years ago. So,
John, you're like our young Jamie on Joe Rogan podcast. He just came up with that stuff. Joe Ferguson is in fact alive. He battled cancer. He survived. He deserves to be on the Wall of Fame for sure. So let's talk about Buffalo Bills drafting. Now, Mike, we've been talking a lot about, you know, wide receivers and where we would take. I've come to this conclusion, okay? So there's like 4, 5, 6 receivers that could potentially be first round draft picks, maybe even 8 or 10, depending on who you talk to, right? Like there's a lot of talent in this class in general, and there's a lot of talent at the top. Last week, we went over what it would cost to trade up in those scenarios or what it would cost to like get each receiver. We didn't even bother with Marvin Harrison Jr. because he's pretty much a consensus top 4 pick. And plus, like not for nothing, if you're picking at number 5, why the hell would you move down to 28, right? Because that's the best the Bills can give you. Now, they can give you a boatload of picks along with that 28th pick, like this year, next year. But like, why? Why would you do that? Like, why would you take like a possible, you know, blue chip prospect for like a bunch of guys at the bottom of the first round, right? Like, it just doesn't make sense. I would argue that like it's unlikely to happen where it's like the top 8 or 9 picks, right? So, John, you texted us actually with some tweets about the amount of draft capital it would take to get to the 28th pick. Which I'm going to look for that right now. Where, okay, so this is from Sal Capaccio. Do you want to read it, John, or you want me to read it? You got it up?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I got it. All right. The last time that a team traded up from 28 with a deal involving just draft picks, no players, was 2010. Miami went from 28 to 12. Dolphins got the number 12th overall pick. They got a 4th rounder and a 6th rounder. The Chargers received the Dolphins' 1st rounder, the 2nd rounder, and the 4th rounder. That was so stupid. I remember at that draft being like, the Dolphins fleeced. They absolutely fleeced the Chargers. They got a better 4th round pick, and they got a better 1st round pick, and all they had to give up was their 2nd round pick. Just like, like, whatever. I mean, it was a high 2nd round pick. It was number 40 overall, so that's like the 8th pick in the 2nd round, but like, geez, like they didn't give up a whole hell of a lot. Now, if that was the Bills moving up to number 12, I'd be 100% for that, right? Like you're giving up.
Yeah. But I don't see the top 3 guys lasting to 12 at receiver.
No, you're right.
Like Once they get like, I don't think they'll make it past 11 for sure.
And that's where it gets kind of hairy, because we did the exercise last week where we said these guys, these top three guys, Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State, Malik Nabers out of LSU, and Roma Dunze out of Washington, like those three guys are going like top nine, maybe 10, maybe 10, but usually top nine or 10. So then it leaves you with like Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU also. Then it leaves you with A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. Like, do you go Keon Coleman out of Florida State? Do you go Xavier Worthy out of Texas, the speedster? Do you go Ladd McConkey from Georgia? Like, where do you go with that? So this is, the more I think about it, if the Bills go wide receiver, they have to trade up in one way, shape, or form. Let me know what you guys think of this, because the Bills have to get a receiver now. Before, we wanted them to get a receiver because we knew that, you know, I mean, it was Khalil Shakir, Stephon Diggs, and they have like good weapons, but they needed to prepare for Diggs not being there. Well, now like the need is so imminent because Diggs is not there. They need a guy that can step in now and could potentially be at Stephon Diggs in a year or two, like as good as him. So like, even if the Bills, like even if the draft starts coming down to like the lower 20s and Buffalo, and like, unless there's a run on wide receivers where like the top six or seven are gone by then, like the Bills will have to trade up at some point, because if you're another team and the Bills are coming on the clock, like let's say it's pick number 24 and the Bills have the 28th pick. If it's pick number 24 and Brian Thomas Jr. is from LSU is still up there, like why wouldn't you trade ahead of the Bills? Because you know that's who they're going to take. They're going to take a wide receiver. If you want a wide receiver, you have to get ahead of the Buffalo Bills. So as a result, the Bills have to get ahead of that too, and continue to try to trade up. How much or how high they're willing to trade up, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking it's going to be more.
We talk about how many wide receivers are in this class. Like it's heavy for the position, and like
it is.
If you look at the and I missed your prior discussions, but if you talk about like look at the best receivers in the league, it's not like they're top 10, right? Like who besides Mike Evans? When we talk about Diggs, he was a fifth rounder. Like Cooper Kupp, third round, Davante Adams, like second, right? Like Tyreek Hill, fifth round, Justin Jefferson, is 22nd overall. So it's like, I don't think you'd have to reach far. Like talent comes from, it's such a crapshoot. Not of the mind that you need to move up.
I agree, especially since they don't have a shot at the top three anyway. I agree 100%. Maybe even trade down and pick up two receivers. Plus, with your other pick, get a defensive player.
You just have more shot. I don't pick your analogy, but more shots on goal, I guess, right? Like, the more players you get.
And especially with it being so draft. So, like, I'm not against that in theory, for sure. Like, right? Like, that makes complete sense. Or wait till the first round pick, right? Like, wait, you'll get someone good then. Why trade up when, like, the guy that you get at number 28 in a normal draft would go top 10, right? Like, that's... I completely get what you're saying from there. It's just, so like you were saying, Mike, to your point, the top 10 highest paid NFL wide receivers and where they were selected in the draft. So you have number one, Tyreek Hill, he was drafted in the fifth round. You have Davante Adams, the second round. Cooper Kupp, the third round. AJ Brown, the second round. DK Metcalf, second round. Deebo Samuel, second round. Michael Pittman, second round. Calvin Ridley, first round. And Calvin Ridley is almost like an, you know.
How did he get on that list?
highest paid?
It's recency bias, isn't it? He just got a deal, so it's more money.
Yep.
He shouldn't be on that list of best receivers.
I don't think he is, but he got paid to like one of the best. Terry McLaurin was a third round pick. Our own Stephon Diggs.
Who?
Stephon Diggs with a fifth round pick. Like there's guys to be had, to your point, Mike. So I'd be okay with it. Is this the year that you do that and trade down from 28 to, like, let's say there's a team that wants to move up and get that first round pick? There's a lot of worth to get that fifth year option. Some guy falls down a draft board. Maybe it doesn't fit the Bills' needs. And some team that has a high second round pick is like, listen, we'll give you our second round pick. Maybe they have 2 second round picks. We'll give you both our second round picks. You'll have 3 second round picks. You know, we'll give you a third round pick or something. I don't know. Like, there's some
maneuvering. Even if they stay at 28 and take a receiver, take a defensive player with your second round pick, there's still going to be some receivers in the fourth round that you can take.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I got no problem with them staying at 28, but take a couple shots at the position.
What do you think is more likely that they do? Staying at 28, moving up, moving back?
Because Bean seems like he's been, like, even just last year, he traded up a couple spots to get Kincaid. They traded up for Allen. Like,
he loves trading up. He loves trading.
They haven't done, like, a huge trade up. Usually it's, like, a few spots or nothing that, like, cripples them draft pick wise over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
And they kind of need those draft picks because they're kind of, like, wanting to rebuild into the second window for Allen. And if they trade all the draft picks away, then how are they going to do it, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, if we go into, like their depth chart, like, I mean, how many positions do they really have open out of 53? Like, we're probably looking at, okay, like, there's some positions that they could upgrade in, but to get 53 active players, like, I mean, I'd argue that there's probably room for less than 10 draft picks, because they have 10 draft picks this year, right? So there might be room for less than them. So,
well, let's count it out. They need another running back.
Yep.
They need two receivers, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Defensive end.
Defensive end.
Defensive tackle.
So technically, they don't need those guys, right?
But they still need depth. Like, there's going to be more guys than they have on the roster now.
They technically have depth, so you would just replace that depth with better depth, hopefully, right? Maybe, like, they have Eli Anku. They have five defensive tackles on the roster right now. They could get away with five defensive tackles.
Yeah, but there's really only
they have six edge players. There's really only three. Yeah,
edge. Yeah, Cameron Klein, I don't know about.
Some positions are deeper than others.
They need a corner.
Your mother been telling stories about me. Sorry, John. What were you saying? We were talking Braveheart. Dick jokes. Okay, okay, sorry.
Cornerback.
Cornerback. We definitely have room for at least
especially if Elam's, you know, and then safety, maybe even two safeties.
Yes, that's seven.
Kicker, punter, linebacker.
So let's say
you ran out of fingers. I'm telling you. Like, there's now some of, I mean, there's going to be undrafted free agents and maybe even another free agent signing that could come in at any position. But there's a lot of backfill depth on the defense that they need.
Do you think it's possible that, like, the Bills still might draft two wide receivers, but there's going to be players that will be released, you know, after the draft when they realize, like, they don't need them or whatever? Like, one of my favorite examples of this. And it fits because he's kind of a douchebag, so I don't mind mentioning him. But do you remember Keyshawn Johnson when he was with the Panthers at the time or the Jets? I can't remember.
Meeshawn.
Yes, thank you. Meeshawn Johnson. He was doing draft coverage. It was like 2007 or something like that. And he was, you know, they were saying like what he thought about this or that. And then it came time for his team's draft, right? And in the first round, they're drafting, and Meeshawn sees the Panthers, whoever it was, pick a receiver in the first round. And he's like, yeah, he's like, this is great, man. He's like, we're just going to add more weapons. He's like, our offense is going to be boo. And then, like, after that weekend, he gets cut. It's like one of my favorite, just because he's such a douche. Like, it was amazing to see that happen, him see that happen. But at the same time, like, you know, it's tough for a lot of these guys to see, like, players take in the first round. Wide receiver, right? I mean, we're thinking it's between safety, wide receiver, edge, and defensive tackle, probably. Maybe a sneaky one would be center, maybe, but...
What, are you talking first round?
First round, yes. Yeah, sorry, first round.
No, yeah, but that's pre-digs. Now, like, they already needed two receivers pre-digs. It has to be a receiver in the first round.
Does it have to be? Because you guys were just convincing me that it didn't have to be a receiver in the first round, that they could trade back and still get one in the second round. Or was that just Mike?
No. I was saying trade back, take a receiver for their first pick, and then again with your next pick. Like, use the extra pick so you get two receivers, and then on your regular second round pick, pick a defensive player.
Oh, so you want to double dip right away with your first two picks after trading back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right. I didn't see that. I didn't necessarily follow that either, so that's good. Okay.
First round pick has to be receiver. Second round pick could be receiver also, but I don't think the Bills would do that. I think it's going to be a defensive player at that point.
I think so.
Assuming they don't do any trades, I would say receiver first round, then defensive player, and then fourth round. I'm hoping for another receiver, but who knows what they'll do.
Yeah, it's going to be another receiver, I think, in the fourth or one of their three fifth round picks, right? Or is it, do they have 3 fifth-round picks? I can't remember.
They have 3 fives, 2 fours, 2 sixes, and a 7.
I could see them doing a 4th or a 5th for a wide receiver, the second one. They get in the first, they go to like defensive tackle or something like that, safety in the second. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But to Mike's point, like Mike brought up a great point. Like if you look at even, you know, all those players not being in the first round that are so good, and then you talk about like I was listening to someone talk about the Packers, right? The Packers are kind of like, you know, they're the blueprint. They have 4 really good receivers and none of them were taken in the first round. So like maybe there's something to that second round or later. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But so like I'm part of that is like, I'm looking at defensive backs and defensive linemen that could go in the first round. So the hard part in predicting all this is what are all the other teams going to do?
Yeah.
So 1 through 27, predicting that part is really difficult to know what they'll do at 28. I think the odds are that they should take a receiver with the first pick. I don't think there's a ton of safeties that are worth a first round pick. There's a couple of edge players, a couple of defensive tackles, but like the good ones are going to be picked early. Maybe corner. Corner could be a wild card, but now you're down to corner and they have starters and.
Yeah, that's tough.
You know, if they're in the same tier, like if they, depending on how the Bills rank them, right? If they have a receiver and a corner in the same tier, they'll take the receiver, right?
Yeah. You know, just looking at like defensive like you said, safeties, there's no safeties grade in the first round for Dane Brugler. There's none. And even defensive tackles, which usually is, you know, there's usually several draft in the first round.
There's only a few. It's very light on tackle and safety this year, it seems like.
So, man, it's like, you know, then now you're looking at, like, based on our big board of Bills' needs, right? If it's not safety, if it's not defensive tackle, then it's going to be defensive end, right? Edge rusher. And like you said, there's
only... and there's not a ton of those guys either. I mean, a guy could drop. The problem with that is they've tried really hard on defensive end over the last 5 years. And it hasn't really worked out
like,
all that great.
Like, so hard. Like, so hard with such... Such non-great results, but not awful results, you know? So,
yeah, it's unfortunate that Miller got hurt because that would have been that was the answer, but.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was the answer to their poor / average drafting in edge rushers in the past few years. Because it wasn't like they haven't taken any swings. They took some swings. They just haven't hit any.
I mean, they've been like. Epinesa had a good year last year. I mean, Rousseau's had, like, it's just not, like, living up to that draft capital, right?
Yeah. Like, Greg Rousseau, like, I think he could be, like, this could be his breakout year, right? Like.
Oh, how many years has it been?
I know, this is going to be his 4th year. Like, they have to pick up his 5th year option soon. Like, they've given him 4 years. And I like him. I like him a lot, but, like.
I do, too.
I just. But, yeah. I want more, right? Like, that's not terrible thing to say. Like,
he was a first round pick, right?
It was a first round pick.
Epinesa was a second round
pick,
and he was a free agent. And they got him back.
Yep. So it's going to be interesting. So like those, besides receiver, like those 4 positions, like there's not a ton of talent deep in the first round. So you might be looking at more second round draft for those guys.
Which, and it's not terrible. Like. I like that the receiver class is deep, not only in the first round, but overall, because then the Bills could get a couple, right?
Yes, exactly. Because you know what's...
They just hit on one, right? Like, just like Benford and Kyrie Elam, right? They hit on Benford. Seems like a miss on Elam, but that's fine. They still got a starter. Benford is starting next year.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Great point. I love that analogy between Elam and Benford being the same thing. Like, you sure you draft someone in the first round, maybe they don't hit, you get your 4th rounder, maybe that's the guy. Maybe that's the guy that you're, you know, what's funny is I was thinking, since we're mentioning Greg Rousseau, my like wide receiver comp for Greg Rousseau is Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. For like, he's like a similar thing. Now the only difference is, you know, when Greg Rousseau came out, he had taken a year off for COVID. So like he had that year off, but like the year before that he had like what, 17 sacks or something, which was like second only to Chase Young, right? Like, and the guy was just like a physical freak. I mean, Greg Rousseau is so big and so athletic, like, It's just like, I see a lot of the same things, like, but 1 year of production, right? So that 1 year you're banking on it, but he has all these, like, I see that with Brian Thomas. Like, he's almost 6'3". He's got an amazing sporty 40 time, 4.33. Like, he's got all these physical attributes. He just only has 1 year of showing it, right? Like, he's his RAS scores, his relative athletic scores are off the chart, like 9.8 or 9.9 out of 10. Like, guy's unbelievable. He hits all these things. He's just only done it for 1 year.
Yep. And the Bills, not just with Rousseau, but they've shown to like that kind of athleticism and take a risk on a guy like that. And if he starts to drop, maybe they do trade up for him.
Yes. Exactly. So let's do, unless you guys want to talk any more about this, let's do a mock draft.
What do you think about Luke McCaffrey?
Let's see. Luke McCaffrey. What's not to like about Luke McCaffrey?
Christian got away from us. I wanted the Bills to make a move. It's time we can rectify it.
Luke McCaffrey. He's roughly a fifth round. Absolutely. I would definitely take Luke McCaffrey. 6'1" wide receiver out of Rice. 198 pounds, 4.46, 40. You know, Bean.
We're always like, is it your environment or your genes? He's got both. He's football royalty.
Speaking of Rice, did you know Jerry Rice's kid is in the draft?
I did hear that. Brendan Rice out of USC.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear that.
I mean, he could be a fourth round pick.
that's all you have to say.
Strategy, just drafting the offspring of former NFL yeah. wide receivers.
They won't be able to get Marvin Harrison, but maybe Rice or McCaffrey.
Yeah, I like it. Let's just only do that the entire draft. Only sons, like quarterbacks that are sons of other quarterbacks. Like, just an all nepotism team or something. It's all we draft. Offspring team. Luke McCaffrey, I like that idea a lot, because Brandon Bean did draft Christian McCaffrey when he was at Carolina. So, like, there's definitely a relation there between Christian and Bean. So, I mean, the Bills have tried to, like, kick the tires about trading for Christian McCaffrey. So why not take Luke? If Luke falls, they absolutely take him in the draft. Like, he's roughly, like, a fourth or fifth round draft pick. If he makes it to one of their fifth
I'm
round
I'm taking pick, him in the third, just so San Fran can't get him.
Yeah, the Bills just don't have a draft pick in the third, but yeah, they trade up.
That
trade
can up. Be rectified.
It could be.
Rectify is a funny word.
it's a very funny word. Sometimes work has me feeling like I've been rectified. I feel like I got
it's
rectified.
Because we were doing those Braveheart quotes earlier. It's like, what's that? Like, do you speak Latin or something, right? Like, oh no, that's something we shall have to rectify.
You do a good William Wallace impression. That's impressive. I bet you, for people that didn't know what you look like or whatever, they probably think it was Mel Gibson saying that line. Now do freedom. Now do freedom as if you've been, you know, you've got your innards.
Freedom.
Why are you coughing? Oh yeah, you're getting in your intestines. It's funny. I sent Mike that GIF the other day, like, over text, and GIF? It looked GIF. It's a GIF. I go GIF. I used to be GIF guy. Nice. Now I'm GIF guy. John?
I've never known someone that's switched.
GIF is peanut butter. Sorry. Oh,
so I got to go GIF now? Okay, I'm a GIF guy now.
John and I have GIF. An alliance. Unlikely alliance.
GIF. Okay. So I sent Mike a GIF about when he says freedom, but for the first 5 seconds of that GIF, like, it looks like he's having an orgasm on that plank. Like, he's just... So anyway, like, we're going to talking about doing a quick mock draft. I have this set up for slow because I want to see, we're only going to do two rounds, but I want to see who's going to be drafted at what spot. So this is much slower than I thought it would be. Okay, I'm going to change that. All right, go to fast.
Just don't go too fast. That's what she said.
That's something we shall have to rectify. You're going too fast. All right. Let's see. Marvin Harrison went number 4. Roma Dunze went right after. Malik Nabers went at number 9. This is too quick. Brian Thomas Jr. went number 19 to the Rams. We're going to look over at some of these, like, with the Bills pick. But it's like, can I just say, they have the Rams taking Brian Thomas Jr. Why the hell would the Rams take Brian Thomas Jr.? They have, like, two amazing wide receivers. Why would you take another one?
But it is interesting. So he went at pick 19. So that could be a trade-up opportunity if he's starting to fall that far for the Bills, if they really liked him that much.
19 is, so like, so...
Any other receivers after that?
No, that was the only, that was the last one. So those are the four wide receivers on the clock. The things that we're going to be paying attention to. If I look at the top wide receivers now, we still have A.D. Mitchell out of Texas, Ladd McConkey, the wide receiver out of Georgia, Troy Franklin, the wide receiver out of Oregon, Roman Mitchell Wilson, the wide receiver out of Michigan. You know what's funny is Xavier Leggett is falling down draft boards. Like in Pro Football Focus, he's ranked number 63. If you look at Dane Brugler, he gives him a third round pick. I was thinking second round at the latest. Like there's a possibility he might be around in the fifth or fourth round for the Bills to take, right? Like could you imagine the Bills trading up, getting Brian Thomas Jr. and then getting Xavier Leggett with their second round or their fourth round pick?
Yeah, or just getting, I'm looking at where we're at right now, like, let's say they drafted Adonai Mitchell, which I'd be okay with, and then still getting like a Xavier Leggett or Keon Coleman on top of that. Either maybe they trade down or maybe they stay put and at fourth round one of those guys falls. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, that would be nice. So Mitchell has like size, speed. He's 6'4", 196 pounds. The only thing I don't like about him, which I've been reading up, is that like a lot of times he takes, not a lot of times, I should say it's not a lot, but it's more often than I think other receivers, is he takes plays off. Like he doesn't finish his routes and he doesn't, you know, like complete what he should be, like give it 100% effort. So how much do you put in that? Do you risk like knowing that like you have good coaches, you have a good, you know, culture in the locker room? You don't necessarily have like really veteran wide receivers in the locker room anymore. So it's kind of tough to like maybe bring along a rookie that has issues like that. But I mean, what do you think about that? Because Ladd McConkey is like one of the next highest rated wide receivers and he's really good. It's just a matter of, he's just not nearly as athletic.
Yeah, McConkey's like, does he have the size that we want?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't, but John, like a lot of those guys that we mentioned, like Tyreek Hill's 5'9", right? So like, can we throw like size out as, like an indicator of like whether you're going to be good or not?
Maybe, well, I'm not saying about whether they should be good or not. I'm just thinking like they need receivers on the outside.
True.
With Diggs gone, and Diggs wasn't a big guy, they need, you could make an argument where you need both still. So
Stephon Diggs was only 6 foot.
Yeah, the first guy doesn't have to be 6'3", but maybe the guy they draft later on is. So I can see that.
So let's talk about Ladd McConkey, right? Real quick. Strengths. Ladd McConkey's strengths. Lightning quick with his releases and gets up to his speed in a hurry. Polished route runner. So like that's his big thing. Like he is a tremendous route runner, which you know that the Bills love. Tremendous route runner.
It sounds like, yeah, that sounds like a Diggs replacement right there.
Does, right? 6 foot. Almost as big as Diggs, I'd say. Set up in variety of shoulder fakes, fluid hips, gets out of break and creates separation, knows where to fit in coverage versus either man or zone, very good locating skills, and plays strong to the football, nifty and creative with the ball in his hands, good yak, with the instincts to find a crease, offers punt return value. John, we could use a punt return.
I don't want my starting receiver returning kicks. I'm sorry.
Your wide receiver one? Are you serious? You don't want him returning kicks?
Remember the year when the Dolphins drafted Ted Ginn? And like, yeah, like the very first interview, they're like, yeah, he's going to be our returner. And everybody, all the Dolphins fans, they're like, oh, no. They drafted a returner for our first pick. He kind of, that's what he was.
That's what he was. He was. I love that. That was one of my favorite picks that they made. So his weaknesses is he's an unimposing body type with lean bulk. It's not a lot of strength. Is likely maxed out. NFL scouts say adding weight has been a challenge for him in the past. He's short-armed with average height, catching radius. He doesn't have the functional strength to beat the jam if he doesn't win with his release. Physical corners can stall him or slow him at the top of his routes. Runs tough with the ball in his hands, but doesn't have ideal run power or contact balance to get through the tackles. Played with a nagging turf toe and knee injuries in 2022 season, but didn't miss any games. Missed the first four games of his redshirt junior season because of a back injury, which was last year. Missed another game. So he missed some games. So there's some injury issues with Ladd McConkey also, right? But now you talk about A.D. Mitchell, which are pretty much our two options right there. He's also tall, but he has a lean frame, below average play strength, which isn't ideal. So when they say play strength, they mean like, you know, ability to like push off corners or to get through coverage, stuff like that. Physical defensive backs will give him trouble early and late in the route. His catch radius casts a wide net, but he has smallish hands and doesn't always play strong to the football. Not ideal. Caught just 4 contested balls in 2023. So like, even though he's got size, he's not a great contested catch receiver. His route running loses rhythm at times, and he needs to be more consistently deliberate with each step. Averaged just 3.2 yards per carry or yards after contact in 2023. Is not known for his creativity or ability to break tackles after the catch. So tell me, John, Mike, after you hear these two things, like real quick, I didn't say his strength. So A.D. Mitchell's strengths: long, limber, loose athlete, long striding acceleration, quick to reach his top speed, light-footed and fluid in his releases and at the top of routes to stem his way over the top of corners, able to gear down. So he's done well. I mean, I've seen a lot of really great plays against like SEC corners, like Alabama, right? Like Alabama, when he was with Georgia, right? Like he had the game-winning touchdown, I think, in the national championship in 2022 or 2021 with Georgia. So, able to high point with outstanding body control for in-air adjustments. Tracks the ball into his hands. Only had one drop over the last two seasons. This is a tough one. This is a tough one between, if it comes between Ladd McConkey and, you know, A.D. Mitchell, it's like A.D. Mitchell has like size and speed. You know, Ladd McConkey does not have the size, but he has explosiveness after the catch. What would you rather have? You want some guy that's like bigger that can, you know, possibly high point the ball, get downfield, he's more of a vertical threat, or would you rather have a guy that's just a really polished route runner? And, you know, because no matter what, you get one of these two guys, you can still go for the other type of guy in the fourth round or fifth round, right?
For me, it's close, but I have Ed and I Mitchell's better prospect, so I would go with him.
Let's look at, like, I just want to see what other positions are available. Nate Wiggins, the cornerback out of Clemson, is an option. I don't see them doing that. Kool-Aid McKee.
Wiggins I like.
Oops.
No, they can't take a corner in the first.
They can't, right? They can't. What about this? So there's Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, Kool-Aid McKinstry, which is one of the coolest names ever, Kool-Aid.
Yeah, that is a cool name.
So cool. I almost want him on the Bills just for, because of his name is so awesome.
He's good too. Like they're both probably first round close to first round picks at least.
Yeah, they have him. He's listed as first or second round picks in Dane Brugler's big board. So then you also have Jackson Powers Johnson, which is a center out of Oregon. So he's one of the highest ranked players here.
I have him as the best center, but I'm not taking a center in the first round. And they got three in the roster. They got McGovern, Alec Anderson, and Will Clapp. So they already have three choices. I'm not taking a center in the first round. I just can't do it.
John, but what if like Ladd McConkey and A.D. Mitchell are gone?
This mock draft, they're not.
They're not. Okay. Scenario where they are gone.
Only four receivers have been taken.
I'm trying to look at like where we might take a player that's like we wouldn't go linebacker. So I'm not looking at Peyton Wilson out of North Carolina.
What about defensive end or tackle?
Defensive end or tackle. Chris Braswell out of Alabama and Darius Robinson out of Missouri.
No, I wouldn't take Braswell yet. Or yeah.
So
I wouldn't go that route.
I was gonna say we just mentioned like how Dane Brugler doesn't have either of those guys in the first round. Braswell he has as a second or third rounder, and Robinson he has as a second rounder. So yeah, that doesn't look good there. And then defensive tackle, which we mentioned also, is not great.
No. Safety?
So safety.
Any safety is taken?
So
there's one that could be taken in the first round, I think.
So I want to hear what Dane Brugler has to say about this, because Tyler Newbin is like the safety that's available, and he's ranked higher on PFF than he is on his board. He has Tyler Newbin as a second or third round pick, which makes me like obviously immediately want to go away from him. He's 6'1", 205 pounds. He's a broad.
I like Newbin. I wouldn't take him here yet. I think the one problem with some of these rankings are, and I think I noticed it when you had like the top 10 safety or the list of safeties from this article. there's players that can play or like corner or safety, and they might be on the other list. Mm-hmm. And the same thing can happen with like offensive line. Like they might show up on the center or guard list, but not the other, or guard or tackle list, but not the other. Mm-hmm. So if you go back to your corner list, number four,
Cooper DeJean.
He could be the best safety of the draft. I'm not saying the Bills take him. I don't know if he's available in our mock draft here.
So Cooper DeJean, the cornerback out of Iowa. Let's see. I'm just wondering if he's like going to be more of a strong safety or free safety. Alert, discipline, smooth in his movements. Anticipates well. Creds his time. Plays physical regardless of the down. Physical. Bills do like that. Humble and soft-spoken by nature. Only average reaction burst and first step isn't explosive as his full strides. Guilty of taking extra steps at the top of routes or in his change of direction. Bah, bah, bah. Not shy about grabbing to recover or getting handsy downfield. That's why he needs to be safety. Can't have that happening down the field.
that's what I'm saying. And you look at their top two safeties, Taylor Rapp, Mike Edwards. Okay, might be serviceable, but both those could be upgraded.
DeJean was an inside-out cornerback in defensive coordinator Phil Parker's zone-heavy scheme. He also saw snaps at safety and the Hawkeyes' hybrid cash position. Man, that sounds like a player. Now, I don't think he's available. Let me see.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, he was drafted at 26.
Okay, so even better. We have to worry about it. Sorry I brought it up. but he's only two picks away. So like in the real draft, that could be a thing that happens.
Absolutely. It's close enough.
Even though I'd still rather have a receiver at this point in time.
So let's go with A.D. Mitchell this time. And hope that the Bills culture can help bring him to... Oh, I thought I did two rounds. I guess I only did one.
No, we got to do it again.
I think PFF only lets you do one a day. Oh. Well, we're going to find out.
But there's probably other sites, right?
About to find out.
Because we did much more than one round last year.
I know, but I had a subscription and I cheaped out this year. we don't have the
network anymore.
We're indie. Indie bands got to pay for their own studio time. Buffalo. Let's do two rounds. Okay, so I'm doing one on this draft, Davis. Let's see what happens. Okay, Marvin Harrison went number 3. Malik Nabers went number 5. Roma Dunze went number 6. Jeez. Brian Thomas Jr. went number 17 again. That seems to be like the sweet spot for him. Bills will have to like trade up to like number 16 or something like that.
It's possible, but...
Oh, actually, I'm sorry. These are rankings. These were where they drafted.
Oh, Miss Ivan.
I'm an idiot. Okay. I have 6 trade offers.
I won't tell anyone.
No, no. Jeez. I mean, I meant to say that. So in this scenario, Brian Thomas Jr. was picked right before the Bills at 27. So it's Adonai Mitchell again, Xavier Worthy, which I'm kind of steering clear of, to be honest. I take him later in the draft, but I don't want him in the first round.
Yeah, and he's also kind of undersized, I think.
He is absolutely.
I know we kind of talked about that already, but
man, I mean, let's just do Adonai Mitchell again, just because we kind of went with it. But in this scenario, there's no Ladd McConkey to even, you know, talk.
Oh, he was taken.
He was taken already.
All right.
So well,
there you go.
There we go.
I do like Xavier Leggett and Keon Coleman. And there's other receivers too, like just going down the list. At some point, you hit Javon Baker. He looks pretty cool.
UCF.
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of guys in between, but I'm saying like for like, you know, fourth round pick or something like, or that would be interesting.
Yeah. He's like the Bills Mafia's favorite right now. Javon Baker,
you know, there's like some of these other guys, Tez Walker, North Carolina, Jalen Polk, Washington. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's dudes.
So Javon Baker, let's start with him. 6'1", 202 pounds, out of UCF. Explosive athlete with smooth gait. Put several big plays on 2023 tape. He had 5 catches of 50-plus yards. Love that. Establishes initial leverage in his releases and leans on pace and physicality in his route running. Able to clear out catch space at the break point, but can just as easily work with bodies around him. Plays with good body length, blah, blah, blah. Weaknesses, has speed, but doesn't always use it effectively. Inefficient at times, out of breaks, and his footwork footwork can get wild. Needs to improve body positioning at the catch and point, the catch point to close off defenders and frame the ball. Occasionally relies on his body to finish catches, leading to frustrating focus drops. More drops than touchdown catches in his career. Needs to put more of an emphasis on his sales technique to bait coverage. How much do you worry about guys that have catching issues, or drop issues?
I worry about that.
Yeah. I don't like that that's one of my biggest red flags. And I know that seems obvious as a wide receiver. You want that guy to, you know, receive the ball. Catch the ball. Catching the ball is
especially when you're getting rockets from Josh Allen, it's all that much more important.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, Khalil Shakir coming out of college had drop issues. Or it was like focus drop issues like this. And he's turned into one of their best like catchers, receivers, right? Like just like that amazing catch he had against the Steelers. Was that where, or was it against the Dolphins when he was on the scramble drill and he like caught it as he was going out of bounds in the end zone?
Yeah. I don't think the sample size is there yet. Cause like Gabe Davis, if you remember his rookie year, especially in the playoffs that year, he had some amazing catches. It's like, oh, he's going to be the next best guy. And then once he was inserted as the default number two, he just was so inconsistent. And I think he just didn't have the sample size yet for us.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully that doesn't happen with Shakir, and you know, who knows what's going to happen. I know we talked about it before, but like Curtis Samuel's going to be the slot guy. So either Shakir is just going to be a backup again, or they push him to outside or compete with somebody else outside.
I think they rotate him in and out. I don't know if they have a specific slot guy in Curtis Samuel or Shakir. I think they move him in and out because they can both be moved in and out. But I think clear. Maybe you're right. Shakir plays more outside than inside. So let's try. So go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, but like, and the other factor is, do you think they'll play more 12 personnel or 11 personnel?
I would tend to think that they, if they were playing safe, and they were looking at, you know, their experienced receivers on the roster, they have two experienced receivers. Maybe you know, they throw in a rookie, but like Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid are experienced receivers in the league. So I feel like it's more 12 personnel coming.
So maybe they don't value receiver as much. I mean, they still need one, but maybe they don't think they need two to start necessarily right away if that's the way they go.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that. So with our second round pick, after we drafted A.D. Mitchell out of Texas, Tyler Newbin, safety, is available out of Minnesota. So he's a potential safety. I mean, that would solve, you know, solve our safety. Javon Bullard, the safety out of Georgia, is another option.
Were we at the? This is the second pick.
This is a second round pick. Yes. Or
yeah, I like that.
Tavondre like Sweat. Tavondre Sweat is a big, you know, the defensive tackle out of Texas. He's a big. Bills Mafia is a big fan of Tavondre Sweat. Tavondre Sweat, let's see.
He's
more of a fourth round pick, apparently.
I have him third round, but yeah, I like Newbin and Bullard.
Yeah,
I'd go with one of those guys if we're looking at a second round pick. They took a receiver. Safety is their next biggest need, arguably.
So they have
Not even arguably. No, it's still a top tier need. I would say, yeah, one of those two guys.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, I was just reading Dane Brugler in his write-up. He has Bullard one spot over Newbin. So Bullard is 5'10", 198 pounds out of Georgia. Sturdy, well-developed body, upper body, terrific short area quickness with strong closing speed and split field range. I mean, that sounds like something that they love. Head coach Kirby Smart describes his hitting ability like a little stick of dynamite, strokes ball carriers across the middle, hard guy to keep blocked because of the way he can punch off contact. This reminds me of Jordan Poyer. Plays with physicality and pursuited leverage of a box run defender, quickly able to course correct and take piercing angles to the football, sharp zone eyes, and has peripheral vision to pick up crossers or sort through route combinations. Experience in multiple positions in the secondary and on kick punt coverages. Man. So his weaknesses is he lacks the high-end athletic traits. Sounds like Poyer and Hyde. Undersized frame by NFL standards with short arms. Aggressive play style, but will get overzealous at times. Feels like he needs to get handy at the top of routes, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, let's go with Bullard. Okay, this time we'll go with Bullard. Sound good? Or do you want
to? Sure.
Yeah.
No, I like them both. So whatever you want.
Yeah. So A.D. Mitchell with the first round pick at 28, and then number 60, Javon Bullard, the safety out of Georgia. So yeah, geez, this new website that's not Pro Football Focus gave us an A+ for the A.D. Mitchell pick and an A for the Javon Bullard pick. So I'll take that. That's how amazing we're. We might as well be Brandon Bean. I mean, I don't know why. Why he doesn't contact us on draft night. So,
wait. What fourth round picks? Fourth round pick. Just, I know we're not doing the mock anymore, but like for receiver, right? Is there a guy that you think might be available in the fourth that they take? Do you think like,
I think McCaffrey, but I don't think he'll still be there.
they got a couple fourth round picks. So that one of them could be for McCaffrey.
They trade up into the third round so they can get McCaffrey.
I like it.
Walker, like, Polk, there's Jermaine Burton. We talked to Brandon Rice, Johnny Wilson. I mean, some of these guys might go in the third round.
Like, imagine if Xavier Leggett gets out of drops down into the third round and stuff. Like, I can see the Bills taking him because, again, he's one of those guys that like he's not big, but he's 6'1". He's 221 pounds, and like he's fast and strong. He just hasn't been doing it for very long. He's also a little bit older. So I believe he's 23. He's 23, you know, which is not a positive. Obviously, you'd rather have a guy that's 20, 21. So he's older,
yeah.
But he's also like got like, he's fast and he's super physical and he's got great hands. It's like, man, like,
why do you think he's been dropping down boards over the last month or so?
Well, and he's got good speed. I think it's just because people are worried that he's only a 1 year wonder, right? I think that's what it comes down to because he's got great measurables. He's got a good RAS.
But they weren't worried when they put him up higher several months ago?
I don't get it. I don't get it either. I don't know why he's falling down so far because we were talking about him as like a eighth or ninth wide receiver off the board. And, you know, Dean Brugler has him as his, what does he have him as? His 14th wide receiver.
Yeah. I'm kind of like in between those two.
What would you rather have? Because like you have a guy.
Like 11 or 12 on him right now. But
so like, would you?
I'd almost rather have Keon Coleman, to be honest. Not by a lot, but I'd take Coleman over Leggett, I think.
So Coleman, I was reading up about Keon Coleman, the Florida State wide receiver. He's 6'3", 213 pounds. He's not fast. I was like reading that like his highlight tape is unbelievable, right? Like, cause he's got all these contested catches, but that's how he gets his, like a lot of his receiving yards is like, cause he's not fast. He's not an amazing route runner. He doesn't have quickness that like he has to out muscle guys to get, you know, his catches. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Gabe Davis. Like if Gabe Davis wasn't wide open, like he wasn't beating his guys tremendously, right?
Well, he was either dropping a pass or running the wrong route.
yeah, so many times running the wrong route. So like that scares me a little bit. I mean, I'm not like, it's tough with some of these guys to like not give them a chance because they're only 1 year guys or because they have some drop issues or whatever. Like, or this guy's like a great, you know, catch guy. Like I was listening to Joe Marino talk about it, and Joe's like, I would stay away from Keon Coleman. So part of me is like, well, he talks about the Bills a lot. He talks about the draft a ton. Like that makes me weary of what he can be to the Bills. Like if you're looking for a true number one, you want a good route runner, right? You want a guy with route runner with speed and quickness and that has good hands, right? Like I don't care what size he is, to be honest. He could be 5'11". He could be 5'10". He could be 6'3", right? Like I want those things. And it doesn't sound like he has them. Whereas you look at a guy like Xavier Leggett, it sounds like he has those guys. He has those things. He's just only done it 1 year. Or like a guy above him, like Troy Franklin out of Oregon. He's almost six foot two, 176 pounds. So like he gets bumped and he gets knocked down, but he's got great speed. Like what? Like you can't get all these things. That's why these guys are like second, third round picks, or else they'd be first round picks if they had everything, right? They would be Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze because they have all these things. You know, their weaknesses aren't nearly as glaring. So,
yep. Then it becomes like fit and scheme and what kind of receiver you need type of thing. So, yeah.
I'll find a way to justify
it. Bills need both. So it doesn't matter.
Exactly. I'll find a way to justify no matter whatever pick they pick, besides maybe a quarterback or punter or something. So, or a kicker maybe even early in the first round. So cool. Yeah.
The other thing too is like Xavier Worthy, like I've seen him mocked
to the Bills
first, or not to the Bills, but like I've seen him mocked like fifth receiver, but I've also seen him like at the end of the second round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's an interesting player just because of that. He's definitely lighter, right? He's only like...
He is. Xavier Worthy is 5'11", 165 pounds. Yeah.
165, yeah.
Whew.
So I don't know about that, but yeah, it's...
Going to be interesting.
It will be. So we talk about what you thought with the mock drafts and everything. What do you think the Bills will do if they stay at 28? Who are they taking?
I think they're scared off by A.D. Mitchell and his like his lack of effort at times.
You think they go with McConkey if he's there?
Doesn't he sound like that kind of guy? Like the only things he's missing is like some size. But like, I mean, look at Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs isn't a big guy. He was their number one. He was a great route runner. Had good hands, yeah. Mostly good hands, and was just like just someone, a guy that you had to account for. Is, you know, Ladd McConkey has all of these things. Like he's a red zone threat, even only at like 5'11", 186 pounds. He's got good speed. He's got good explosiveness. He's just...
It'll definitely be interesting.
Yeah, yards after catch. Yeah. I think they go Ladd McConkey over A.D. Mitchell, but I don't know, man. Speed kills. So, and I think they stay away from Keon Coleman. From Florida State. I know Dean Brugler has him ranked as his seventh best guy.
When I was talking about Leggett and Coleman, I wasn't thinking like for their first round pick.
Yeah. I could say second maybe.
But like at some other point, yeah.
Yeah. What do I think they'll do? I still think they go wide receiver no matter what, and I think they try to trade up to get Brian Thomas Jr. That's what I see.
I can see that too.
I'd love aggressive. They can't get into the top 10. I mean,
They can't get done. I would love it if they got Roman Dunsey, but I just can't see it happening.
No.
And they would give up too much to do it. And I wouldn't like that part of it.
They give up too much. Exactly. So you're talking like 17, 18 for Brian Thomas Jr., which is definitely reasonable.
Yeah.
So cool. Well, let's cut it off there. Let's talk more next week about the subject or anything else Bills news related that comes up for this. Thank you guys all for listening to us. We're still evaluating different areas of like, you know, different podcast networks. If we may or may not join, we're still staying independent for now. We're still on our indie label for now, as it were. Appreciate all you guys listening. A lot of you sent some like really kind words about the podcast in general, you know, us moving on and stuff like that. So, it's an exciting, you know, what do they say? You can't control the wind, but you can control how you set your sails, right? So can't control, you know, the podcast network being, you know, disintegrated and stuff like that. We can control, you know, where we go from here on. So appreciate all you guys listening. Signing off for John.
This year's the year.
So signing off for Mike.
Go Bills.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. Thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter @ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate.
Well, listen, the whole show is called Circling the Wagons. Say no more. I love it.